Hello, welcome to the Snow Fall Theology Podcast. It's not popular. Episode 228. My name is Justin.
And mine's Helen.
And Helen, we got like stuff like fall anime is almost here. Like it's already like actually fall now, but like we got the fall season. Actually, it's already started. Actually, now that I think about it, I think some shows already aired. I just realized.
There's like something on High Dive of an episode zero. I think.
Yeah, there's a.
The but PA I totally forget what it is. Yeah, it's a PA work show.
Something, end of the world, blah blah blah, something like that. But yeah, I'm just not even.
I'm not there yet. it's like I still gotta finish up my summer stuff.
Yeah, same here. Same here.
So we are not gonna be talking about summer shows this episode because we have like one or two shows that still need to air, and I still need to finish watching stuff. Like I was going to try yesterday, but. I think I gave myself a headache from being out of the house and not drinking as much caffeine as usual, so that made me kind of sluggish and unable to accomplish anything in the evening aside from reading, you know, some trashy manhwa. Which admittedly is how I spend a lot of my evenings now, but normally I have at least the opportunity to be doing something more productive, but last night I was like, nope.
The new thing you do, read manhwa. Very, very, I guess, good, bad manhwa?
I mean, listen, I will also be reading trashy manga or trashy manhwa, you know, from China. Like, I am indiscriminate there. It's just mostly trashy lately. That is just the mood right now.
Well, I can't say I've been reading too much trash or real in general. I've just been trying to catch up to everything. I've pretty much gotten there. Like, Genova Club-wise, I mostly caught up to everything. Manga, Plus, Fizz, etc. I caught up. And I was just trying to be consistent and hope. Gonna knock on the wood. Nothing pops up out of nowhere to just unfortunately take away my time. But, you know, life is strange and weird and can get distracted. So you never know. But I would try to do my best to just stay as caught up to everything as possible. So that'd be good.
You know, I think Life is Strange is a video game. I think that's a video game, Justin.
Oh, you're right. Now that you mentioned it, that there is a video game, I think, called that. you can definitely tell my video game knowledge is not very, like, solid or high as it used to be back in the day.
Listen, you actually game, at least. The only thing I play is, like, Tetris, Mahjong Solitaire, and Genshin Impact.
Like, my life is just revolving around, like, either fighting games, maybe some type of old game, but I don't really play those old games that much. Especially fighting games or Fire Emblem. Speaking of Fire Emblem.
It's Fire Emblem Heroes, so Werewolf.
Hold up. You're going too far into the future, or...
I'm stealing Justin's thunder.
But a few weeks ago, we had the Nintendo Direct, and had a bunch of Nintendo announcements and everything.
Oh, right, yeah, that was...
ended up shadow dropping, or I say shadow dropping.
No, you should say shadow dropping.
No. The Nintendo Direct's like final showcase for their Direct was the latest Fire Emblem, Fortune's Weaves, and I'm thinking, oh yeah, it's great. We finally have a Fire Emblem for the new system. Gonna have to hold on with Heroes and just get ready for Fortune's Weaves in 2026.
My friends are all making Fire Emblem Seven Houses jokes.
So many of the discourse jokes and everything. But instead, Intelligent Systems, Nintendo, and I guess Denna, that's the other mobile company involved, they decided to shadow drop another Shadows game. Okay, more specifically, a Fire Emblem game with Shadows in its moniker. It's like six games in the franchise with Shadows in it. How is that possible? There are like, what, 17 to 18 games in the franchise.
I feel like the Shadows must be getting very crowded there.
They're just, it's just, we have five Shadows, because it's a hand, literally a hand of Shadows. Now we have the extra, what, would it be a bit of thumb? Would this be Fire Emblem Shadows?
Do you not consider the thumb like a part of the hand, Justin?
No, we already have five, the one hand occupied with other Shadows.
You go to the other hand, then.
Yeah, we gotta pick which finger.
Oh, okay, I usually start with the index finger when I'm counting things, so...
Yeah, funny enough, I actually just start with the thumb. I don't know why.
Some people start with the thumb, some people start with the index finger. It seems to be partially cultural.
But yes, anyway, we got another...
Yeah, I sent Justin another... that, and I think it was, like, I think you had, like, seen fan art before you'd seen the actual announcements. You were like, what is going
on? Here's what happened. Helen was going to be the first one to let me know that Shouse was a thing, but the link was messed up or something happened, so I couldn't actually see it because it just popped up as an error. But then what happened was I went to Twitter, and I saw the Fire Emblem Shadows pop up. So I'm like, what in the name of... Then I go out to Helen's messages in line, then it pops up in there. It was like, Helen could not be the first one to show it to me.
The universe was like, I cannot have that responsibility.
So yes, they literally just shadow dropped it.
And it really does look like Fire Emblem Heroes mixed with Werewolf. Or you might also know it as Mafia or Among Us. But Werewolf makes the most sense because some of the characters are looking kind of werewolfy in those, like, promo images.
But yes, it was funny because, like, so many opinions came out that first day. It was just like, oh my god, this is the worst Fire Emblem ever. Oh my god, this is just awful. How can you... This is not even Among Us. How does this work? But the tide has suddenly turned days later.
Guys, you can't call it the worst Fire Emblem ever when the game isn't even out yet. Like, it's still just the demo, right? Or is the full game
out? No, it is... Well, okay, look. For a game like this, it can literally be updated, like, at the developer's discretion.
Oh, okay. It's one of those games.
Yeah, it could be one of those games. Yeah, it could just be updated one at some point. So, and that's what I'm going to anticipate here. So what they put out here is what they are going to deal with for now.
Okay, gotcha.
Here's what I think what the issue was, or maybe two issues. The first issue is obviously the nature of just being shout drop means, oh, we're gonna immediately try it out, and then it's just like, well, the server's kind of bad. It just kind of drops you in. You get to sort of enjoy like a Fire Emblem experience at the fact that you don't really control the characters. It's like auto battling. You really just make some select decisions, and it's like, it's kind of awkward.
It doesn't feel much like a Fire Emblem game since those are all about strategy.
The only really strategy comes in the fact that you have to figure out who's light and shadow, and I'll get to that in a bit. But I guess the second thing I kind of would just point out was, yeah, it just takes the gameplay at this moment is kind of meh, or especially when you got to go through the tutorial, it's just kind of underwhelming. Because, again, you have to get used to so many things, or a little bit of things, but then at this moment, like, the shadow part is literally is really difficult. Because it's easy to figure out who's, like, the one that's in the shadow, the one that's the traitor in this case. They have, like, it's three units at the moment for a battle, and I think it should be four, maybe five. Probably four would be, like, a limit. Excuse me. So it's just a little awkward to be like the shadow. Like, if you're the light, it's kind of easy. Like, you kind of just, you know what, since you know at the auto battle and everything, you just figure, okay, that's simple enough. You just notice like who's attacking you and what exactly is the shadow doing, etc. So then you can figure it out. I can't say I played shadow too much just yet. I just did a little just once today. And then, like, thinking, okay, I think I may have fooled everybody, but no, they were not easily fooled. So it's like, well, I had to figure that out. So yeah, just some things that I just got to work on. And then, as you said, as I mentioned, because I just dropped it like that, and I think the gameplay's kind of, like, underbaked at the moment, I can see why people are just like, yeah, this is not going to work.
One question but I again, have. Does it have a multiplayer mode, or are you always playing just against the computer?
It is. No, you're facing people online already. Like, it's just it's just like a live service. It's like a live service game. It's just waiting in a lobby, and then you're just waiting for people to join you, and then you're obviously picking, you're figuring out who's light, who's shadow, and everything, and it just goes from there.
Yeah, I was just thinking, stuff like this could be a fun party game, but sounds like...
Yeah.
Can you match with people intentionally, or is it all just randos?
I believe it's random. Maybe if you get to a certain rank, it'll be just bots or whatever. It depends on how many people are, like, playing the game. But, I think there's real people over the internet playing this game.
I mean, like, can you, like, specifically invite friends to join you? Like,
oh,
you can
at this
Among
point,
Us.
No. As okay. far as I know, no. I don't think... And I think that's the problem. I think it was also advertised as an Among Us type of game. I wouldn't necessarily call it that. Because it's more... So obviously Among Us, you're debating like who's did it, and it's a case where Among Us has more like tasks and everything you can do, so you can actually fudge and trick and everything, but at this moment it's kind of hard to trick people. So I wouldn't even call it that. I think it's something totally different. I think that's also why it was like, yeah, this isn't gonna work. So that, I think that's why the day one was just kind of odd and awkward. But again, I think the case where things are changing is both because people are putting more time into it, kind of understanding you don't want to play it too much, which I don't know why you're playing these type of mobile games all the time, but I guess you could do that in certain mobile instances. But so you understand more what the game requires of you. You unlock more options, and those people are in the battle pass or whatever. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that.
Isn't the battle pass the one with like Uma Musume Lin or something?
It's Lin and Dimitri, and from what I know, you can actually like earn them without paying for it. It's just obviously you'll get them quicker by buying the battle pass and everything. It's just you have to obviously grind enough to unlock them, like just normally or whatever, free to play in a free to play state. But
yeah, I was just amused by, oh no, the Uma Musume, they are everywhere now.
So yeah, I would just say, like, I don't know, it was a question like, is this really a Fire Emblem game? Yeah, from just like a story beat standpoint, like it literally reminds me of Shadow Dragon in the Blade of Light, like the very first Fire Emblem game. Prince Kurf has lost his kingdom. His kingdom was attacked by the shadows and everything, the other kingdom and everything. And now he has to try to restore his homeland and everything. So, oh, it sounds like Marf and how he had to restore his kingdom. Sounds very familiar. And I thought this is a very much common Fire Emblem thing where
the person who's played only one Fire Emblem game before, I'm getting some real Marth vibes out of this.
So yeah, there's nothing really like new or anything like that. And they even like have the Cain and Abel, like there's these two calves in the original game, Karina and Alberta. That's who they are in this, in Shadows, the bull and the panther. That is exactly who they're the nicknames for the original trio. And then of course the whole red green cavalier thing is also a Fire Emblem staple. Going back to Fire Emblem 7, going like the GBA. So that's nothing new. So there's just a lot of little things, just a case that you have to get used to the gameplay, which I'm guessing people are going to get used to more at this side from day. I'll call it day zero. I know you'll get day one, but I guess I'll call it day zero. So it's hard to say for me if it's fun right now. I'm starting to get kind of I'm starting to pick up things today, just how it works and everything. I'll probably try to play a bit more tonight. I'm starting to get the hang of certain things, how they work. It's just that I'm well able to understand how the shadow side works, because it's my one match. It was just kind of like really tough to like say, oh yeah, I'm definitely the shadow. And it's like, if I do, what do I do like to make sure like nobody knows that I'm a traitor?
don't be suspicious.
But yeah, that's my current thoughts. Maybe next time I'll have more thoughts.
You're talking about Fire Emblem staples is making me think, oh yeah, now we've got all the discussions about, for Fortune's Weave, where is gun going to fit into the Fire Emblem weapons triangle?
It's going to be a bow, probably.
Yeah, I was thinking, I think we need like a secondary weapons triangle at this point, where it's like bow, gun, and something else.
They have a new flying mythic in Fire Emblem Heroes called Holder. And she wields a gun, but she's classified as a bow flyer. So that's my guess is what they're going to do here in Fortune's Weave.
It does kind of remind me how Genshin has been getting like a little bit more creative with some of their weapons, but they still got to fit everyone into like one of their five categories. So you'll have ones where the character fights with a sword, but for their special move, they just pull out like two pistols. And it's like, okay, I guess this is that now. Or they've got one weapon, which is called a catalyst. And so it was supposed to be, you know, like using just magic, and then a while ago they introduced a character who just sort of punches things, and so we were like, yeah, physical catalyst, you know, no longer using magic, we're just punching things. So let's see, I've not been up to much that I haven't already talked about on here. I think the one thing is that I decided to finally check out some of the J Novel Club originals that they've been putting on the site. These are all winners from their originals novel contest last year, so 2024 winners. They've been dripping them out over the past couple of months. There's a couple where I didn't get to them before they expired, so we're gonna have to do that later. But I have been trying out Promise to a Dragon and Cogs of Time. not sure I'm going to finish Cogs of Time. It's just annoying me in some of the wrong ways. Like, it's kind of steampunk themed. And so I'm like reading it, and like within like the first few paragraphs, it's like, oh yeah, she's wearing a leather corset. And it's like, ma'am, you don't want that. Like, you don't want to be wearing that, like, as an actual corset. Like, maybe in the Ren Faire over the shirt corsets, like she has in the illustration, sure. And then like later she's like sneaking out and changes into like leather pants, and it's like, oh, and I'm sharing this with my cosplay friends, we're like, ah yes, leather pants, excellent for sneaking out. And then in the illustration where she's like again supposed to be wearing leather pants in that scene, they've just got her like in the dress again. I'm like, come on, illustrator. I appreciate that there's illustrations in these, but like, come on. Promise to a Dragon is holding my attention better. Even if I seem to be getting into arguments with people on the forums about dragons. Not how I thought that was going to go. I did not expect the other person to take such offense to my assumptions that a person was riding on dragonback instead of being carried, like, in talons. But we shall just see how that one turns out. It is kind of funny for that one, though. You can definitely tell that the author comes from a background of reading Western fiction. Western fantasy fiction that is not just light novels, since there's a couple of tropes and character names and setting details which all feel familiar to me with what I grew up with. Like, there's like an explicit reference to like the Baba Yaga myth. You know, that's the one in Russia where the witch has like the house on chicken feet. You know that one?
No.
Oh man, I'm gonna have to introduce you to Baba Yaga later because it is iconic. Stuff like that. There's shades in there which feel a little bit like they might have either watched Howl's Moving Castle, the movie, or possibly read some of Diana Wynne Jones's work. Not sure, but it does kind of lean like that. So, yeah, that's catching my interest. What was it? There was a couple, like I said, some of these came out a little earlier, so I just simply missed reading them. So I do want to go back and read, like, Atlas, which I think was the winner. And I was poking around on the forums. There's 8 out now, and I think there's supposed to be a 9th, because I think there were 9 winners last time. But, again, there's only 8 right now. So yeah, that is partially how I'm keeping myself entertained these days at work. It's like, okay, I just need something kind of boring and fluffy, just because work's been slightly monotonous. I've just been doing a lot of stuff, same thing every day. Ooh, except for the photos of severed heads. We did not expect those in the book I was scanning. So, it is monotonous except when it's broken up by things that probably require a content warning.
Yeah, the only Genoclo originals I picked up so far, I haven't tried them yet, but some that, so, okay, the art looks good, or the cover looks good, I think the synopsis is kind of interesting, was was Promised to a Dragon. That did look pretty interesting, and nice that you're reading it, so it makes me confident that my pick is a thing. And the other one was The Young Lady is the Substitute Harvest Goddess. Again, haven't started it yet, but
yeah, that one kind of got my attention, but I hadn't yet, so maybe you should try that one out first, and you can tell me how that one is. You know, we can swap in, and we can swap.
See, look how things work.
Oh, that reminds me, after the podcast, I should tell you about one of these trashy things. One's a manga that I picked up, where I'm reading it, and I'm like, this is kind of like a Dahlia and Wolf fanfiction, except they actually get engaged at the very start. It's like, I feel like I need to mention this to Justin, because I feel like Justin would see what I'm putting down here.
All right, I definitely gotta figure out what that is. But, all right, let's get into some of the news that's happened in the past few weeks. Starting with something, it's funny, I think Crunchyroll, there was something we discussed online, but what Crunchyroll did, what was it again? What did they do? Something silly to where,
You mean the Noah Lyles collab?
No, I feel like it was something else, because we were talking about how they, were delaying something or something. That's why I brought up the Crunchyroll manga, where it was so long since we actually heard from them. It's like, what in the name of, like, what? Where is Crunchyroll manga? They asked at the start of the year, where is it? And of course, later in the week, they of course announced Crunchyroll manga actually is a thing. So of course, as soon as I bring it up, then they show up and that's gonna launch. It's gonna launch October 9th. This is going to be interesting because it's a premium add-on. This is going to be added to everybody's like subscription, whatever they got. It's going to be launching in the United States and Canada on iOS and Android. So it's going to, I guess, be kind of different from when they used to have it, because last, when they had it originally, or when they started originally, they had like Kodansha, they had like Square Enix to an extent. They had like a few things, like, and then towards the end, they had Alphapolis titles, not too many, but they did have them. But then, of course, eventually, Crunchyroll Manga shut down, and it was Radio Silence. And since then, they announced early in the year that they would actually consider doing, or they were, I think it was at CES, they were going to do a Crunchyroll Manga, and now it's back. So this time, it's going to have titles from Viz Manga, like Jujutsu Kaisen, One Piece, but then also it's going to have stuff from Compass, as I mentioned, Square Enix is back, Yen Press, and then they're going to have additional titles from Shueisha and General Club to follow. They did emphasize that they have, like, they're going to have, like, a list of, they didn't have, like, a list of what they're going to have, both because it's going to be subject to, I guess, the publisher's discretion, so we have to wait till the app launches to see what's there. But it is a thing. I guess it's going to be fine because they're going to use the, they work with Linkyu Group, which seems to be like the premier digital manga tech of choice for Japanese and, I guess, manga public, US. Well, I would say mostly Japanese publishers, because they're operating Square Enix, Square Enix's manga up, which is why I thought about checking in first place. I'm like, why does the UI look familiar? Like, oh, that, there you go. It's like manga up. But then they also work with Manga Plus, and then in Japan, they have work with Manga Me, and then they also have Sunday Web 3 in Japan. So from a service standpoint, it looks like they'll be in touch with the current, like, standards. So I guess I'm not worried about that. But of course, it's a case where, once again, we saw you guys do this one time and it didn't work out. Now you're going to do it again. Is this going to work out better? Is this going to be any different from, like, what was it, Manga Mirai's doing? Any different from, would it be worth it to now cancel our Viz Manga, like our Viz Manga or Shonen Jump subscriptions and subscribe to Crunchyroll? Why not have a manga?
The Viz Manga app has just a ton of stuff on there that's not on other services. I'm like, they haven't announced many titles yet, but I'm sort of betting this is going to be a lot of stuff you can already find on other services, especially since, like,
yeah,
as we have joked before, Kodansha will put their manga on any service that holds still long enough to do it. But this stuff tends to be more exclusive to the to their app and such.
I will have to check again, but I didn't think I saw any Crunchyroll. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be on there. But funny enough, you bring up Kodansha, and I don't think I actually saw them on the initial list for Crunchyroll Manga.
I could see. Well, I know you could still buy Kodansha manga in a lot of places. I would sort of wonder if they stop wanting to put stuff on, like, a quote-unquote streaming service now and try to focus more on K-manga. I think it would be their loss, because K-manga continues to suck, but...
I assume if you can purchase volumes, it'd be fine, because I know Azuki has, like, Kodansha stuff, but you have to purchase volumes, and I'm guessing if it was just going to be chapters instead of volumes, or I do see, like volumes on the UI and everything, but if you could just, like, purchase volumes, it could be the Kodansha might be game, but it doesn't sound like it. But yeah, it's looking, I'm not seeing them listed. I mean, it's possible they could just be holding off. Maybe they'll have additional, it'll be under the additional publishers parts. Maybe they'll announce it later on, but yeah, it'll be very interesting to see, like, how it all works out, especially reading wise. Again, it will offer, I think I had it. Yeah, be offering, like, ability to download chapters for offline viewing, light and dark mode, personal reading list, all that stuff that you know, and obviously ad-free, and I know people do not want to just get a random ad just hitting them out there, but yeah, it's going to be curious to see how it works. Obviously, I think back to just how it ended for Crunchyroll Manga, where their app was just so garbage and just not.
I mean, they fired all their engineers, so that was part of the problem.
like they just did not update it whatsoever, and it was just not very good. And at some point, it just didn't work on it, updated, so that meant they had to delete that, which they had to survive just using the web, and that worked for a bit. Like, for what it's worth, like, it actually did work. It was obviously old and ancient, but it still worked. But yeah, it's obviously not going to be the same experience when this launches. So, excuse me. So yeah, I'm very curious how it's going to work, how it's going to work for all the publishers, what's going to be on there, stuff like that, for sure.
And then, talking about a different service, J Novel Club announced on a stream, I guess they did one of their bi-monthly streams and I missed it again, that they are adding on a new kind of tiers that are subscription service, which is, they're calling it a reader's membership. And the idea there is that instead of focusing on being able to read their pre-pubs, their streaming parts, essentially, this is going to be where you can read an unlimited number of their already completed manga volume, not manga, well, I guess, manga and light novel volumes.
No,
they're still putting out...
It's just light novels right now.
Oh, okay, sorry then, just light novels. They said that for some series, we'll be able to read all of them. For some, you might only be able to read, like, the first three volumes. I don't think they've specified yet, series by series, like, if you're going to be able to just, like, binge bookworm that way or not. But the way they're doing it, they've got, like, a little chart now saying, you can keep your old subscription, which is just the pre-pubs. You can get one of these new ones. And there are a couple levels where you can have both subscriptions if you want to do that. And it's like, I might do that for a month or two just to, you know, check out a couple of series where I missed them the first time around. But again, it's going to depend for me on just which specific titles are read all, read only three, etc., etc. So, yeah, I do think it's interesting, and I do think there's definitely a market for it. Oh, and this isn't going to replace their option to rent the light novel volumes either. You're still able to do that in addition to also just being able to buy them, you know?
Yeah, this was, yeah, this was interesting when they announced it. Yeah, just to answer Hella's question, because they don't have like a Blue Sky account right now, yeah, it's kind of tough to...
Yeah. It's annoying. I know that their social media person is apparently, like, overloaded, and that's why they don't have a Blue Sky account, but it's like, come on, please. I feel like I'm missing out so many things, like, in, like, pop culture... Well, not even pop culture news, just, like, licensing news, just because not everyone uses Blue Sky, like, as frequently. And so it's kind of weird. I feel like I'm so out of the loop now, since I'm not going on Twitter.
And I don't want to, like, be, like, defending them in a way, but I can sort of understand, because even I get kind of overwhelmed. I'm just tweeting out, like, pre-order stuff and any manga news in the computer.
I mean, don't whatever you have, like, a scheduling service that can post on, like, Twitter and Mastodon? Yeah, but...
Right, but they have more different multiple responsibilities aside from me, so it's like adding one more social media, we have to do other social media.
I mean, they just need to use like whatever thing you use with Mastodon, and then just bridge it to Blue Sky.
Well, the thing is, they have also issues that I will elaborate over the podcast, after the podcast, so I'll go over that. But I'll just a smarter defense. The only other thing I would just say, like, maybe just hire another person, but that's either here or there. But anyways, yes, that's one thing. But then yes,
companies just hate that solution. It's like, just hire more people. No, I don't want to. It's like, well, tough nuggets.
But yeah, I think this is obviously long overdue. Jam Club has been around long enough to where they have like many titles that they've just obviously finished, and people could just read at their leisure instead of maybe hoping for catch-ups and stuff like that. So,
like I do.
Like, I've been hoping for, like, I think a good year and a half. I could be wrong about this. Maybe a year and a half that Magician Rose from Failure, the light novel, would be available to catch up. And it never
I've been waiting, like, multiple years for a Mariel Cleric catch-up, and they have not done it in, like, the 2 years I've been waiting. So it's like, yeah.
So I know I think some people would just be like, yeah, I kind of wish the catch-ups, which is fortunately, that would be the one sacrifice, or maybe two sacrifices. The first, obviously, is the fact that they will raise their premium membership.
Did they say that they're completely getting rid of catch-ups then?
Yeah, catch-ups are done because of this.
Oh, okay, yeah, then I'm definitely going to have to get this at some point. Okay.
So, And the other one was, I know one technically went up in price because they had the ebooks. Because again, it was just more like lining up how ebooks cost and everything.
Yeah.
It used to be $6.99, so now it's $7.99. But of course, the trade off is you'll get $7.99 coins. But yeah, it's only up like
$1. Which is still pretty cheap. Like when I was.
Yeah, yeah.
when I was sick over the winter, I was sick a lot. I just bought like a bunch of the old Dahlia books to reread as comfort reads because it's pretty easy to justify a let's buy an $8 ebook and like. Zone out a little bit while trying not to like cough my brains out.
Yeah, so it's again, it's very like it's unfortunate, but like unfortunate since the oh, it was nice, it was six, and it's not just oh, but it's not a yeah. It's not a big deal to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the only two changes. Everything else is pretty much the same. So I feel like, and it was funny, I think Sam was kind of insinuating, or maybe like, or not really insinuating, he was like, I was hearing what people were saying, I guess in the forums or whatever, that, oh, they're having a random stream about subscription update and everything. They're going to raise the price like every other thing. Every other service there is just going up in prices, and Sam was just teasing them to like, yeah, we're not doing any of that. So that was funny. So yeah, it's going to start next week, October 3rd. I guess I'm probably going to pick up one of the subscriptions. I'm not sure I'm going to do one of them. I'll figure it out. But I'm pretty sure I'm going to do the subscription just to have all you can read. Because I think it's a nice feature to just read at my leisure. Especially if there are certain light levels I want to read for a while.
And God knows Justin and I are definitely big enough readers to justify this.
Yeah, so I think it's a good move on Genomic Club to finally do it. And I guess that also suggests that they're in a good spot that they can do this now. Sam also kind of mentioned this in the stream that obviously no manga's a part of this, and especially with the Crunchyroll manga thing happening right now, they're gonna have some titles on there too. I think it's to be dated if they actually.
You mean to be determined?
I guess to be determined if they add any manga to their all you can read part. I think there's just certain rules and restrictions that make it different compared to light novels. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say don't get your hopes up, but we'll just put that in the unlikely, but we'll see if it happens.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I had to put this in here because, again, we talked about Demon Slayer last time, and I know it, like, obviously it was, like, the number one of American film. Obviously, it surpassed, like, Pokemon the Mount and everything. Hell, and it's now surpassed this year Fantastic Four and Captain America. In terms of box office numbers, I'm like, really?
I forgot there was a Captain America film this year.
that you think about just where Marvel was way back when and just where it is now, and even
they just overloaded. Marvel put out too many things and said, oh, everything is going to be connected, and it's like it's just too much. Although yeah, it's wild. Like
yeah.
Like I was chatting with a coworker who was like, oh yeah, I'm going to go see Demon Slayer after work with my boyfriend. And it's like, oh, okay. Like, I knew this coworker watched some anime, but I was like, wow. Just since she's more of a normie level of anime fan, instead of, you know, the two of us, which are, like, intense anime fans. You know what I mean?
Just,
so.
Right, and I'm just on the train, and I just see someone with a Demon Slayer shirt on the train, and going up in Harlem. I'm like, what? What is happening here?
Clearly people are going to slay demons in Harlem.
They're going to slay demons in Harlem. Just to get the numbers out there, it's the Box Office Mojo reported that the film's estimated total worldwide is at US$555 million as of Sunday. This was, I guess, last Sunday. Make it the highest earning anime film of all time worldwide, as well as the highest earning Japanese film of all time worldwide. Yes, and then again, I go back to like random. We don't really get know exactly how much of money anime really costs. They always keep that secretive. You just kind of just figure it's not very high, but it's making this much money on an estimated $20 million budget. I saw this report earlier, like I think it's on the Times. I think it was going out to multiple outlets, but then Daryl Harding, he's like the Japanese correspondent for Crunchyroll News and everything. He reported that the budget is actually probably less than that.
Yeah, $20 million sounds like a lot for an anime film.
Yeah.
Oh, and I think we should also remind folks that this that Infinity Castle is something you need to have seen the rest of Demon Slayer to understand it.
Like, yeah, that's what makes it surprising, yes.
There are probably people out there who have not seen Demon Slayer who are going to see this movie with friends and are just totally lost, but this isn't like Pokemon the first movie, which I think was the previous title holder, which was more self-contained, although that one also definitely benefited from Pokemon knowledge, or like Spirited Away, which was definitely self-contained, and I know that one also did big numbers back in the day.
And it's funny, if you just bring up, I'm bringing this up, when you watch a Detective Conan like film, they'll give you a recap, like a short thing at the start.
Previously
of the film,
on Detective Conan, a lot of people died.
Yeah, like, just getting just general moviegoers a synopsis of everything, like why Conan's just a kid and everything, and blah blah blah, et cetera, et cetera. But instead, Demon Slayer as far as I know, I don't know if they did anything like that for
Yeah, Castle. I haven't seen it, so I have no idea.
So I am very curious. Like, so many people have. I'm pretty sure you don't get to this much money without at least some people curious about watching it somehow, some way. Yeah, this is.
I'd definitely be curious if, like, it's going up in streaming numbers on like Netflix or anything else like that. As people are, you know, checking it out after hearing about the movie. I say Netflix specifically because A, even non-anime fans are likely to have that, and B, you can actually see Netflix talking about, oh, this anime's in our top, you know, 20 watch things this week, unlike places like Crunchyroll, where you can't really figure that out. At least not as easily.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if the manga's somehow going up, like it did in Japan.
Oh yeah, did the New York Times, like, discontinue, like, their comics bestseller list or something a while ago?
I thought they brought it back.
Maybe? I feel like we haven't talked about it in a while, so...
Well, I just usually rely on ICB2 anyways, but yeah, just, excuse me.
We used to have so many ways of tracking the world, and now we don't, and it sucks.
Right, yeah. But yeah, it's crazy, even when you go back to, like, when it was just really blowing up, and you're thinking, okay, manga's over, it's a TV show, and now they're gonna do movies, it can't do that well, right, and... Yeah, it did extremely well.
They were playing the song at the Olympics.
Like it's still really wild to just go. If you even go back 2 years ago, you still wouldn't think anime would just be like topping the box office like this. No way you would have thought about that. And it's really, you wonder just what is there. Can be actually a lesson taken from this. I know we're theorizing what can Hollywood learn from this. Usually they learn all the wrong
people
lessons.
Like big set people like big action set scenes.
Yeah.
Set pieces.
I guess. Would K-pop Demon Hunters also be like part of that too?
Nah.
Maybe? Nah. Yeah, I didn't, yeah, okay.
Especially since that one's only like an hour and a half and this one is like, what, like 2.5 hours or something? Everyone's like, oh yeah, it was so long. It's like, I am glad that I read the manga, finished it, enjoyed it, fell off the anime, and now I'm kind of glad I did not get back on the anime, because I do not want to subject myself to a 2.5-hour movie of material I already know.
I am always looking forward to subjecting myself to 2-hour movies of all the great fights that happened in Infinity Castle and getting more of an expanded timeline, or sorry, flashback to another demon. Looking forward to that. Very much looking forward to watching that.
At least if you watch it at home, you can, like, control the speed and also, like, go to the bathroom whenever you need to.
Yeah.
Grab food that you don't have to, like, fit into your purse to sneak it in past security in the movie theater.
Yeah. Totally understand, though. Yeah.
All right, so after that, we've got a couple of hiatuses, obituaries, etc. So on the hiatuses point, Yasuda Suzuhito resumed the bootleg manga after a year. Manga got a hiatus in October 2024 with no stated reason why, but it is back now. And we've had a couple more anime delayed. Young Ladies Don't Play Fighting Games has been delayed to 2026. So I guess that was supposed to air this fall. It's already been delayed a couple.
It was supposed to air sometime this year. It was already like radio silence for years.
Yeah, so that's... I know that... I remember some people pointing out that when Rock is a Lady's Modesty started airing, that its opening scenes or like its opening setup apparently is very similar to Ladies Don't Play Fighting Games, but that anime has been in production for so long that Rock Lady beat them to coming out. And then I swear, like, the next day after Crunchyroll announced, oh, Otherworldly Munchkin will be streaming on our service, that anime got delayed. They haven't announced a date for when it's going to air instead, but the production committee said that it's been delayed in further notice to improve the quality. Which Justin and I were talking to ourselves and said, yeah, I can't think of the last time I saw something delayed to improve its quality where the quality has actually been improved. Like, I can think of, like, maybe one or two examples in the past 10 years, but not often.
Yeah, it's just very rare. Like, I'm not saying, like, I obviously hope for the best. Like, yeah, fans are looking forward to, like, wanting to watch it.
But usually you're real fucked if that's what you're having to do.
Yeah, it's not what you want. Especially when it's, like, the fall season's almost here, and yet you're delaying it now. Like, you already had the lineup for the stations and everything.
Yeah, we've had, like, two or three things delayed from the fall season, like, last minute. It's like, Jesus Christ, what's going on over there?
People are just like, I ain't doing this anime anymore. Then the company's just like, alright, time to integrate the AI. Let's do it. Well, okay, but to be really honest, like, excuse me. I actually just drank some water. I'm excusing myself. But,
gosh, Dustin, you're so thirsty this episode.
We obviously have known the anime industry has been just kind of in, like, a weird state for years. Decades. Yeah, we're going decades. Just, like, how just the working industry is just not very good, and just people just want to produce more anime, despite the fact that we're losing animators, or there's not enough animators, and we still want to have more. So it's always been this state where it's just, like, very consistent, very, I would say, almost luck-based in a sense. You just never know. Like, maybe aside from, like, one or two, you'll have most... take a chance of whether actually, like, the production be good or not. So yeah, this is not, like, necessarily a shock. It's just the fact that it keeps, like, happening and happening. You would think these production companies will learn, and no lessons continue to be learned at this point in time. And it gets frustrating in a sense, because it's like, you know better. People should want to expect better, and yet you do this to us, or to people, and it's just not good. So again, hoping for the best, or
preparing for the worst.
Yeah, pretty much. We have a divorce that happened. Kensho Ono and Kana Hanakawa made a joint statement. This is more or less a summary. It wasn't a very long statement, but this is basically the main crux of it. Due to differences in our lifestyle and our lifestyles, it became difficult for us to find time to spend together as a couple, and as we continue to drift apart, we decided to respect each other and go our separate ways. So unfortunately, because I think they've been together for a couple years now. Obviously, you hope everything was, I guess, amicable divorce, that there's obviously no hard feelings, stuff like that. One thing that did catch my attention, I looked in the A&M forums just to, like, get a sense of how people were taking it, and it was pointed out that these two were the co-leads and your form of this past spring season.
It's like, oh man, so, that must have been... It's like, I hope that wasn't too awkward for them then. Like, if they were already thinking about it, or... One hopes that wasn't, like, the thing that pushed them over the line, but...
Yeah, right? Yeah. You do hope they were, like... I guess they were professionals about it, and they obviously just did their jobs.
I imagine there are probably some casting directors now who are like, okay, probably need to make sure we don't have both of them in the same show now. Like,
well, oh yeah, right, yeah, they probably, like, for especially before, were they aware of this? And I guess considering when they probably decided the casting for it, they had no clue that this could have been happening in the background.
Yeah, since I think they still normally in Japan do, like, everyone in the studio at once, or as many people as possible, just a little easier, you know, for people just to act off each other in those instances, but does mean you kind of want to make sure that nobody's got, like, deep-seated grudges against each other. Which, I mean, hopefully people don't have those anyway, but,
yeah,
you know, it happens. Everyone's got some people they have beef with, you know, and it's like, all right, I will put up with this person for as long as possible. Like, me showing up to a photo shoot once and seeing another person there who's, like, smiling, waving at me. And I'm like, listen, you came into my DMs once and, like, made me cry because you said that I was being transphobic to somebody else for saying, hey, can we spoil this image of gore for cosplay? I was like, all right, I need to just be... professional, even though this is a hobby, just Why? Why, universe, why? And so then our last bit of news is that manga artist Kaisei Sui passed away on September 12th. This was an announcement that came out from, I think, the publisher's Twitter account. Kaisei was the author of the manga, this is French, so I'm going to try, Gisuin Alan, which had been on hiatus for many years, so I think we can assume from that it was probably on hiatus for some sort of health or medical reason then. So that's a shame, since it sounds like it was not a finished series, or at least that the people who read it had hoped for her, them, to return to it at some point.
Right. My condolences to Kasai's family and friends. It's definitely not what you want to hear, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay, moving on to the one of the licenses that's happened in the past few weeks. Kind of decent.
Wonderful Wednesdays!
That does include Wonderful Wednesdays, which have returned after they had their services at their appearance at Anime New York City, and they set the rest up, and now they're back to close out the calendar year with more licenses. And they started out pretty slow, I think. So they announced they've licensed Maigo's Printernia Nippon, Lemon, Toko Yamazaki, and CMA's Al the Adventurer, That Magic Shouldn't Work. They got the light novel and manga of that. Minoko and Joyo Nishi's I'm Fine With Being the Second Girlfriend. This sounds like a Ghost Ship title. Yeah, it is a Ghost Ship title. Why am I not surprised? And they licensed Kuruma Hino and Buchiyu's Space Orc, Barbarian Raider of the Stars, Aiming for the Queen. This is for their airship line. So
I was going to say, that one also sounds like a Ghost Ship title, but
that is going for the light novels for sure. Maybe it has some Ghost Ship qualities, but I think it's, I guess, close enough to more airship than anything else. And we did get a audiobook announcement, I guess, just in time for the anime to come out. My Status as Assassin obviously exceeds the hero. I was gonna get audiobook from the Silent Line, Siren Line.
And I was gonna say, you're sounding a little bit Japanese there. You're mashing your L's and your R's together.
Knox Riley will narrate the series.
Let's see, we've got some new licenses from Hanashi Media, which is a publisher I've forgotten about. They announced that they have licensed Shingo Kazami's The New Gate and Koikitsune Kakeru's Re Monster light novels. They're going to release both of those digitally on October 30th. As far as I know, The New Gate has nothing to do with that Gate Japanese Self-Defense Force propaganda series that has been popular for a while.
Not even close.
Yeah. And we've also got an announcement that's a joint thing between Webtoon, which is the website run by, I think, Navier, and Boom Studios, that they're going to be adapting several of Boom Studios' comics to Webtoon's vertical scroll platform. So they're going to be bringing over... all of these are English language original, I think, American comics. Something is Killing the Children, Wind, spelled W-Y-N-D, Fence, and Lumberjanes. We'll definitely have to see how these look, since a lot of times, if you just take something that was formatted for a page and put it vertically, it does not look good. Like, I know they've got Clevitas over there, and I tried a little bit of it, and it just doesn't look good. But I think that's the only place to see it, to read it, like, legally in English right now. Yeah, because I even went and I looked, like, oh, was this vertical scroll for the Japanese release as well? And I found, like, it streaming on, like, a legit Japanese site, and I looked at that preview. No, definitely formatted for your regular, like, two-page spread, and definitely looked better in that fashion.
These titles have been up, like, retailers for, like, a hot minute, or really a couple months now, but Toko Republic is just weird about when they want to announce things, especially the one of conventions and stuff like that. So here we go. They finally either announced these at some point or decide outlets decide to report it now. So they've licensed Waka Hayashi's In the Twilight of Adolescence, Yu Kiaki Uno's Touched by Twilight, and Hiroko Natsuno's About a Love Song. And then Sentai Filmworks had their usual release monthly slate, and Wonder Woman's going to be Azumanga Daioh Complete Collection. This will be on Blu-ray. This will be the first Blu-ray disc of the anime North America. Obviously, ADV Films had the series for a while. It was in DVD for some time, and also Sentai then again had it.
Well, ADV kind of turned into Sentai, sort of.
Right, like, I bet, yeah, sort of, yeah, yeah, it's weird, but yes. It's,
well, like, they are supposed to be legally distinct entities, but, yeah.
Yeah, but then Sentai Films did eventually release it in DVD in 2016, but now, after, I guess, what, 9 years? And I guess it'll be coming out. Yes, because seven. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we 9 years. So it's been 9 years since then. It's, now we can have a Blu-ray release in 2025. So good for those who've been looking forward to upgrading their Azumanga Daioh sets.
And then I think we announced the. We mentioned these when they were announced as prose licenses. But Yen Press has announced that two prose books are going to be put out as audiobooks as well: Frieren, Beyond Journey's End, Prelude, and Sesuji's About a Place in the Kinki Region. Kinki? K-I-N-K-I. Which I guess, yeah, we just pronounce kinky, which is kind of awkward in English.
Kinky.
I'd be curious if they're if they've got, like, any of the voice actors from the Frieren dub doing the audiobook. Like, I feel like it would be a natural choice to look at Frieren's voice actor if they could make it work, but I don't know if that's, if they've announced her.
They can make it work. They, yeah.
No, no, I'm, when I say make it work, I mean, is the voice actor interested? Are the rates doable? Is the timeline doable? Yeah. That kind of make it work.
Right, right. The business kind. I just want to point out that this is, yeah, from what I've known from Yen Audio, they try to get, like, the anime voice actors they can. For Goblin Slayer, I think they got a bunch, like, two or three of the voice actors from that series to do some audiobooks, or do the Goblin Slayer audiobooks. They, I think they got one of the main characters, the main character, to do the Reincarnated Slime one. Oh, and I guess the big one, for me, big one, My Happy Marriage, they got, I believe they got both the voice actors leads for that. So I know they're going to try, but I guess the only thing is, this is going to be like an anthology, if I'm not mistaken, type of thing for Frieren. So can they actually get all the necessary voice actors? I guess that's the question.
Yeah, and if it's... And if it's an anthology and you can't get everyone, then it might make more sense to do a totally different person instead, kind of as, like, a narrator. When you said that they got one of the characters for Reincarnated as a Slime, that kind of makes it sound like we have hired the Slime Rimuru instead of, like, whoever Rimuru's voice actress is. We have a slime who's doing a recording. Don't worry, we disinfected all of the microphones afterwards. All right. Streaming news. Miru Past My Future is now streaming on Crunchyroll, and Remail has had it streaming on Samsung TV Plus and It's Anime North America. So now you can actually watch it on a service you have previously heard of.
Well, you haven't heard of It's Anime? You haven't heard of YouTube? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, did they have it on YouTube? Like,
well, it's basically on YouTube. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forgot the It's Anime is their YouTube channel, because I thought that was like some other service.
You watched what's that show that got a sequel? Yuri sequel. What was it?
There's no freaking way I'll be your lover unless
you watched.
Yeah, it. I still need to finish that, but I did finish Hell Teacher Nube on there. But yeah, it's kind of awkward trying to remember to keep up with things. It's like, even if I'm not feeling a show 1 week, it's like, I gotta watch it now, or else it is off to fan subs for me, or not even fan subs, because no way anyone's fan subbing something where they could just, like, rip the files and then stick it up on the torrent sites. You know it to be true in your heart, Justin.
Maybe. We got the next set of Conan films, which was announced a while ago. The Tete Conan, The Phantom of Baker Street, which I watched. Great time. Very much close into the Sherlock Holmes type of integration, and also Sword Art Online. No, this actually did before Sword Art Online. Wait a minute, people go into the another world, and if they die, they're actually gonna die for real in real life. This came from this. There you go.
I mean, people have been doing that one for years.
I'm just joking.
Also, like, wasn't Sword Art Online, like, in real life supposed to start, like, this year or next year or something?
It started, I think, earlier this... Was it last year? Is it earlier this year or last year?
Yeah, since I know next year is supposed to be the year where the events of 17776 start. That's supposed to be the year everyone becomes immortal, but Yeah.
And then the Jolly Roger and the Deep Azure, which happened yesterday. Kind of fun, not bad.
I won't. Does this mean you've already totally watched it? If you've gotten an opinion on it?
Yeah, they only, like I said, I guess the timing of the article was a little, or when they announced it was a little weird. We had already had our episodes, and they announced it, I guess, after, because we didn't talk about this the last time, last episode, so. But yes, Jolly Roger aired yesterday, and the last part of this Conan Cinema Films for this month, or I guess next week, is The Crimson Love Letter, which is going to air October 4th. Looking forward to, I guess, watching that again. I watched that already. The it's the sequel to the Detective Conan Chihayafuru crossover nobody actually knew we needed, but we got it anyways.
Are you sure we need it, Justin? I mean, maybe you need it, but the rest of us, I'm not so sure.
Look, is Karuta and possible death involved? No, I'm kidding. But we gotta mystery to solve, and it involves Karuta, Helen. We gotta solve it using Karuta. The harder cards. Wait, no. Chihayafuru, and we could just get the cards just flying all over the place. But okay, yeah, that's the next Conan film.
Who are you gonna call? The heart of the cards!
Yeah, I guess we'll get the next set of Conan films maybe after Crimson Letter, but I'm thinking also with the timing. I think New York Comic Con's like that following week, so I'm guessing they're gonna not only reveal the next set of Conan Cinema Saturdays for that, but then also the next part of the Conan collection. That is what I'm guessing. We'll see if that comes, if that holds up. They could announce it this week, but that's my guess.
You going to the New York Comic Con?
I am not. I just can't do Javis Center so often.
Yeah,
just can't do it.
Yeah, I understand. Like every time I go to the DC Convention Center for something other than Otakon, it's like, ha, I'm back here again. Although funny, because I did an event there a couple weeks back, and I was like giving people directions, and it was kind of useful. It's like, oh yeah, I know this convention center very well. I have been in this building too many times. To get down to the basement, here's what you need to do. I don't care if they call it the lower level, it's the basement.
It's the basement. And Los Angeles-based Web3 anime-styled brand AzukiAnime.com platform announced that
AKA Bad Azuki
is part of TV Tokyo to stream the anime adaptation of Gintama, Mr. Genpachi Zany Class, which is based off the Tomohito Ozaki spinoff novel series.
It's kind of appropriate that Gintama is the one on a cursed service.
They're going to stream the anime for free every week starting on October 6th. There will also be watch parties for each episode. Yes, people will definitely be tuning in to watch it. Yes, I saw this earlier in the week, Helen. I was like, isn't Azuki the one that's the kind of the crypto blockchain cap of service? And that turned out to be correct.
The bad one.
I'm like, incredible.
The bad bean.
Why is Japan so fascinated with this? Why did Crunchyroll get this in the first place? Why did, well, I'm just venting. It's just being irrational. But as it turned out later on, excuse me. I looked in the forums. Thank you, forums, once again for being the winners here and being all, providing the hookups. We got linked to a fandom post article where Chris Beveridge, he obviously saw the news of that, but then also noted that Gintama, the spinoff, is going to air on Crunchyroll and Hulu. So that means if you already have a subscription to all those, you can watch it there. And I'm like, yes, excellent. I don't have to worry about giving any information to anime.com, the Azuki bad version.
This is like me whenever a webtoon I read has like a spicy version re-released where I check the comments on the first episode where people are listing out like, okay, here are the ones that actually have the spicy content in here if you want to rebuy anything. Let's see. So Disney and Hulu are set to increase their monthly prices on streaming plans, which is, okay, it's kind of fucking hilarious that as our listeners probably know, they kicked off Jimmy Kimmel for a little bit because they didn't like the tone of his posts about the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And this is still ongoing. But so a whole bunch of people were like, you know what, that's it. I'm canceling my Disney Plus subscription. And it seemed to really rattle the company for several reasons. And one of them was that Disney had been planning on announcing a price increase for the subscription like the very next week. So the price for the subscription tier with ads is increasing from $9.99 a month to $11.99 a month, and the price for the ad-free tier will increase from $15.99 a month to $18.99 a month. The price for the Disney Plus and Hulu bundle will also rise from $10.99 to $12.99. Just...
Yeah, the timing was just...
I kind of wonder if I can... I know for a while, if you had your ad blocker on while you're watching Hulu, that would mess up the subtitle timing, but I kind of wonder if that's gotten fixed, because otherwise, like hell, I want to pay extra for no ads, because I thought that's what I was paying you guys for in the first place. But yeah, it was very funny seeing some of the Disney adults just... I wouldn't say they've been fully radicalized, but there were, like, some people who were going out and, like, doing TikToks where they're, like, slamming down a whole bunch of books, like, okay, here's what you need to read to understand capitalism in America, and it's like, wow, mad respect, you just checked out, like, 7 books from the library that are all hardcore reads, like, I respect
What is going on TikTok?
I could find you some of the screenshots from there because it was kind of funny.
Oh boy. But yes, the timing for Disney to do this was definitely not great. Like, and I was thinking, like, didn't they just raise the price like not long ago? And I technically am not wrong. October 2024 is not technically long, but that was something that you didn't raise the prices. But this is a common thing where it seemed to do every October.
We need to start putting like a calendar notification in.
Like I've already just put it for 2025 October. October 2026. They are gonna raise the prices. I'm already like committed to that. This is not a new thing. I'm already looking forward to that. So yeah, next September they're gonna raise the prices. Very typical. Very original. Blah blah blah. But yeah, the whole Jimmy Kimmel thing just only exasperated. Just like, you would raise the prices after all that, would you? And then I guess in final bit of streaming news, another anime bites the Amazon dust. It's just like, if you get picked up by Amazon, please do well. Please do well. It doesn't seem to do well. And this time, this season's gonna have A Star Brighter Than the Sun, which got picked up by Prime Video. So. Gonna watch that show, you're gonna have to get a Prime Video subscription. Maybe I'll get it this time. I still didn't pick up High Dive, surprisingly enough. High Dive is unfortunate for High Dive. Their season lives are looking too great either.
And then we didn't skip anything. News. I think we're on to weird news.
Weird news time.
So yeah. I was trying to find that post on Blue Sky, but Blue Sky is being a butt, so I got distracted. All right, so weird news. I sent this to Justin saying, Justin, we may have found the weirdest of weird news for 2025.
Before you go in, you know, every podcast, because we've had so much weird news this year, I keep challenging the weird news gods. Like, there's no way this
it could be. I keep telling Justin, stop challenging the gods. This does not end well. And yet. So, the United States Department of Homeland Security, DHS, we all know them, we all hate them. They are currently still stationed in places in DC, and it's still really fucking stupid. They have not done a single smart thing in decades, and that includes someone decided to post onto their social media a video they had made showing mugshots of people they've arrested, videos of them, you know, kicking down doors to get into people's houses, stuff like that, which I feel like is definitely illegal unless they've got, like, an actual warrant and stuff like that, since that's, you know, it's part of things of know your rights. Like, they might say they have a warrant, but there's only certain kinds of warrants which are actually enforceable. Anyway, so they made this whole video, and they sent it to the tune of the original English Pokemon theme song, Gotta Catch 'Em All, you know, I'll Be the Very Best, and all of that. And the post caption read, gotta catch them all. So where did they post this? I think they posted this on the website formerly known as Twitter. They might post it in some other places as well. The Pokemon Company International gave the following statement to Eurogamer, The Hill, and other outlets. We are aware of a recent video posted by the Department of Homeland Security that includes imagery and language associated with our brand. Our company was not involved in the creation or distribution of this content, and permission was not granted for the use of our intellectual property. I'm kind of hoping they sue their asses because, like, the Pokemon Company is separate these days, but they're still, like, associated with Nintendo. And if you had to ask me who are the most, like, protective brands out there, number one would be Disney, and number two would be Nintendo. Sony would probably be number three, frankly. Just get their asses. Come on, guys. Come on. I'm rooting for you for once. Get their asses.
I'm very curious when they think they'll be able to do it. Because I was thinking, like, okay, yeah, Pokemon Company, they pretty much go after almost everybody when they want to. But then I was thinking, like, I guess the recent was Power World. And I think despite the fact that came out, it took a couple months before they actually decided to do a lawsuit for that, too. So
okay, yeah. I'm used to, like, the American style, which is we are suing you immediately. Lawsuits take long enough that we will have time to gather our stuff, like, once we get this ball rolling.
Yeah, I am very curious if they will do it. There was an article that IGN posted that suggested that it would be kind of awkward to do it.
But it was like a former person from like a Pokemon company, and God, that they worked for a consulting company that had like a really weird name too. Like, let me see if I can bring that up, unless you remember what it is off the top of your head.
No, I definitely don't. I just noted that they pointed it out, and I'm like, yeah, I guess I can exhibit some patience. But I think at the same time, this is just not a good look for their brand, which is exactly why they're so protective of it. So I think they will at some point come with a case, because it's an idea of what they think they're representing, and I don't think it's not good to be associated with that for Pokemon. It's not good.
Hang on. One second, I've almost got it.
Mm-hmm. And it's just a case where just why you keep looking for it. We're really like in a state where the Department of the Homeland Security is really doing these type of posts, and I'm just like,
I found
times are getting too interesting. We need to stop being. We always say, "Live it." Go ahead.
So the person who made the statement of, "Oh, this would be kind of hard to do," is Don McGowan, who was formerly did legal work on Pokemon Service with the Pokemon Company, and now they run their own consulting firm called Extreme Grown Up Services. Listen. It's not my nature to just shit on people unnecessarily for stupid names, but come on, man.
Extreme
Grown Up Services.
That's how you get people's attention. Extreme.
Maybe for in the 90s, yeah, but.
Oh, look, this guy was probably molded in the 90s. What can I tell you?
Clearly, he has not grown up since the 90s.
But yeah, you wouldn't think Pokemon and the Department of Homeland Security would be wrapped up in anything would be part of us talking about it. But, you know, it is September 28th. We still have more of the year to go. Somehow, someone out there decided to challenge the weird news we had this year and say, yes, we're going to add another one. And I am sure that whenever I get around to putting all the weird news together of this year, it's going to blow away all the other years, including the Tokyo Babylon one by so much.
The horrors persist, like, and so does the weird news.
Of lesser note, because just this kind of involves like more international
politics. I don't know. This one is wild in its own way, so we're not getting into here. But
yeah, we can't really get into it, mostly because of the situation and where it's at.
Nepal had an election for their new prime minister on Discord, but that is beyond the scope of this podcast.
I'm sorry. What?
Yes, yes. This one has not been covered a lot in the Western media, and I keep meaning to follow up on it. But yeah, the stuff in Nepal is like absolutely bad shit the past couple of weeks.
Okay, they're maybe either going more advanced than all of us, or maybe too far in advance. Discord!
Yes.
No, for real, Discord?
Yes. Clearly, I have
anyways, more ways to find a shadow. Before I go crazy over having everything happening with Discord, okay, so the Nepali protests, okay, yeah, those protests in Nepal, let me make sure I get this correct. In Nepal, Philippines, yep. The Nepal reports coming. Rake up Gen Z, Nepali citizens' frustration with national government. And APB support. I guess there's a few months to go. Ashish Pradhan, a senior advisor at the International Crisis Group, stated that the protests were a wholesale rejection of Nepal's current political class for decades of poor governance and exploitation of state resources. And the whole the One Piece Jolly Roger flag has been like the rallying cry. That's what you're seeing over there. They're using that as part of their protest. So they're protesting the government there, and the irony, or the, I guess, the whole theme of One Piece being used in this is very fitting, I think. Like, you think back to how anime and politics, and people would keep saying, like, oh, yeah, not political and everything. Yeah, it's what do you think is happening right now?
Let's see, so... Man, this one just feels too tame by comparison. Clamp is teaming up with a known chocolate luxury brand, Godiva, and they are producing chocolates of Clamp characters on there. They are doing... looks like a lot of characters from, like, Cardcaptor Sakura. We've got Chi from Chobits. Yuko and Watanuki from Holic. Hikaru and Mokuna from Magic Knight Rayearth. So, you know, all your classics. I wonder if these will still be around for Valentine's Day, because I feel like you could make some very nerdy Valentine's Day gifts with that.
I guess what you say, Tomoyo, Daidoji, the chocolate. This sounds so awkward. Yeah, it tastes good, right? The Tomoyo, the chocolate tastes good, right? No. Very, very interesting. Very strange. But, you know, Clamp, I guess, they want to have their favorite Clamp characters to Godiva chocolates. So there you go.
Yeah, Clamp just hasn't made much in a while. Although, oh yeah, we're reading Tokyo Babylon for Manga in Your Ears, and Corey keeps posting pictures in the screenshots channel, and he's like, this was written in 1993. Like, why is this so relevant still today?
Crunchyroll is teaming up with Olympic gold medalist Noah Lyles for a new anime-inspired capsule collection powered by Adidas! So you can only get this exclusively on the Crunchyroll store in the U.S. Obviously, Lyles has been a noted anime fan, especially if you watched his Olympic exploits last year. He definitely took off from there. I think especially with the Yu-Gi-Oh! Blue Eyes type of... I think he had like a one point a Yu-Gi-Oh! Yeah, he took out a Blue Eyes card, that's right. So yes, we were still in that anime mainstream era where you have the ones who grew up enjoying anime, and now they're really big superstars in different fields. They're like spreading their love in a different manner. So yes, thank you, I guess, Noah Lyles, and thank you, Crunchyroll. I guess people will be interested in purchasing these type of merch for them to just wear around somewhere in the U.S.
And finally, Jeopardy often has like pop culture categories, and so one question on a recent episode was, let's see. Well, the question was, film based on this anime series. Damn it, the YouTube caption is the YouTube video is like blocking the question.
No, it's a sequel. Like, what? Like the
basic question was... okay. Yeah, the question was, films based on this anime series include Mugen Train and now one with Tanjiro facing foes at the Infinity Castle. None of the contestants guessed the right answer, which is obviously Demon Slayer. I don't know what category this was under.
This isn't movie sequels. Movie sequels.
Okay.
Movie sequels are 2000, and none of them could get Demon Slayer. It appears they are not hip with the times. Anime is taking over. Mainstream, continue on your TV, got Toonami, got Samsung TV Plus and It's Anime. Boom. Wait, what?
It's funny, the ANN article is describing Jeopardy as the unique reverse format of Jeopardy gives you contestants clues in the form of answers, and contestants can win if they guess the correct response in the form of a question. Oh, so that's how we describe it. Since obviously I grew up watching Jeopardy, and I knew that, you know, the answer is always, what is such and such? But I never realized it was supposed to be formatted as in, what, like, you were given the Demon answer and you have to figure out the question. Never made that connection. I always liked Jeopardy more than Wheel of Fortune, though. Those were the two that were mostly on at my house.
It was probably because at the time Jeopardy was just too smart for me. Like, I can't really get into that. I think I like Wheel of Fortune just because I just get to figure out, okay, I got the alphabet, okay, this is the same sentence. I think I got it. 5,000.
Yeah, I could never guess that.
It says, my clueless first friend. What? Mona Lisa. Medalist. These are all titles that are just in front of me as on my bookshelf or as on my table right now. That's it. That's the puzzle.
All right then, folks. We have wrapped up another episode. Another episode where we went longer than we thought we were going to.
Yeah, oops. Right. Like, but I thought we. Ugh.
How Justin, did this it's happen because again? It's because I let you talk uninterrupted about things like Conan, so.
And Fire Emblem.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a problem. The problem is that I did not interrupt Justin enough, actually. So, right, if folks want to find us elsewhere online, you can find me on Blue Sky at Wandering Dreamer. You can also find the other podcast I co-host on your podcasting service of choice under Manga in Your Ears. Like I said, we're going to be talking about Tokyo Babylon at our next recording, so I need to actually finish reading that one in advance. And for that one, if you want to look us up on Blue Sky, we're lumped together under Taiku Podcast. That is TAIIKU Podcast. Also the name of the website we host under, taikupodcast.com. Justin, where can people find more about you, the show, the site, the universe, the answer to the Fire Emblem, Shadows, you know, who's the traitor, etc., etc.?
You can find me still on Twitter at Kamen Tsunomi. Once again, more Three Houses retreats. And yes, there was the feral Dimitri that showed up. So, of course, I definitely made sure to retreat that. Like that, or wait, do we even call it likes anymore? I have totally lost a plot on what Twitter does anymore. Sometimes it just exists.
Exist on Twitter. All of us have.
I exist on Twitter. But yes, it's on there. So you can find also the OSG. But again, this kind of branched out to where I just use a social media like site platform to just get it out, information out there. So Blue Sky, Mastodon, also still Twitter to get all the nice manga news and pre-orders and all that stuff, information, etc. Check out theoshi.com for reviews and futures. You can check out or subscribe to the Oshi Podcast or Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, as to Spotify or as to any artists you have, or subscribe by email. Feel free to leave a rating and review. Those are always good to do. Until next time, where we talk about fall anime.
No, summer anime.
Summer anime. Already jumping ahead too far into the future. See you all next time.
Bye.